edition of the Maize and Blue Review. And we have former Wolverine Jim Scarcelli in the house. Scar, there's always a lot to talk about with Michigan, but you know, they just hire a basketball coach. And for the people that don't know, that you went to practice last week. So, you know, we're going to be talking about practice as well. So we got practice and a new basketball coach to touch on. Things are happening around Ann Arbor.
It never stops, Danny. Every day, baby, the competition, they want your trophy, man. When you're on top, they're all out to get you. So I took a couple pictures of I don't know if you had that one posted, the national championship. Well, that's me and the strength coach.
Tress, right?
Justin Tress. What a fired up dude he is, man. And I introduced myself. We had a good talk, and he was loving the Mike Gittleson stories. But this dude right here, Danny, he don't need any caffeine. He's a fired up guy. He's got strength coach written all over him. I was impressed with his attitude, you know, and his enthusiasm. And, you know, he's a young guy, man. I don't even know if he's 30 years old, but hey, Mike Gittleson, the greatest strength coach Michigan ever had. I think Bo hired him. He was 28, 29 years old. So he's worked under great people. He's full of energy. He's got, you know, he's creative. He talked about all the different things he does. And he's got the same kind of philosophy that Gittleson, you know, in terms of it's creative, man. The kids don't know what they're going to get when they go down there. That was just good stuff, man. I think, you know, Denny, I think he's a lot like Sharon Moore. He worked under a great proven guy, and now he's going to get a shot. Sharon Moore's worked under great people, and he's just stepping up a slot, and he's a young guy. They're both going to work into their positions. And from what I saw last Friday, I was just fired up.
You know, Scar, you look fired up. Let me ask you, you got a set of dumbbells in your car? Were you like pumping them up before you went in there? Because your arms.
That's all natural, Danny. That's all.
Yeah, but your arms look a little bigger than they do normally.
You can't even tell, man. I got the Michigan jacket on, but.
Where's that Michigan jacket from? I've never seen that.
Yeah, that was that's old school. That's old, Danny. I got some old stuff.
Okay.
But anyway, I was impressed with him. He's got a heck of a staff, and I was there on pro day, so a lot of the guys were hanging around, and you know, he does a lot of things to get them ready. You know, everybody doesn't believe. You know, you don't do a ton of bench press all the time, but you got to do some of it to get your guys ready for the pro testing. And obviously the pro drills, the agility and some of the different drills. So anyway, just impressed with them. And, you know, Danny, just overall the practice, you know, it was just like I've seen from Jim, just nonstop. Energy and enthusiasm, and everybody's working, everybody's moving. A lot of encouraging, a lot of motivating. In your face, coaches. I was checking out the coach. I watched all the coaches, and just a lot of great communicators. They all got different styles. I'll get into some of the different styles and approaches. But Chiron's a delegator, man. He's not over there. He's not coaching the linebackers. He's not coaching the old line. He's not coaching. He lets guys coach, you know, and that's how Jim was. That's how Bo was. I never got coached once by Shem Beckler ever in 5 years. You know, you let your guys coach. So that's what Chiron Moore. That was kind of the structure of practice. I'll get into the defense next week. I'm going to talk about the offense today. But, yeah, you know, in general, Wink's a walk-around defensive coordinator. But, you know, real quick, then I guess I'll start with – I'm going to start with some of the coaches.
Let me – before you go there, I just want to set the stage a little bit. I've got a couple more photos that I want to show. And – you mentioned it's pro day. So not only are you down there as a former player and other former players, you've got head coaches, GM, you got the national champs back, and, you know, they're working out. This is one of the, you know, the first days of the 24 team getting out there, Sharon Moore as the head coach. That place, you know, you hear this a lot. Well, must have been a lot of energy. Well, there must have been a lot of Michigan energy in that building, Scar. Give me a thought on that.
Yeah, Danny, I got two words down here underneath Sharon Moore from the old, just two words. I'm very optimistic about what I saw from our football team. And there's serious, serious competition. There's guys that are fighting and battling and competing. Every drill, everything they did in practice. So, yeah, I was very optimistic about the talent, about the practice, about a couple questions I wanted to get some answers on. But it was serious, serious competition, man. You look at these guys and you see a sense of seriousness for the players. Because they know how darn important all these practices are. They know how important every rep is. You know, I was looked at all the different groups, but just, you know, the offensive line, there's so much competition. The linebacker group has got so much talent. I mean, there's 10 guys here that can play. So every rep matters. And it was just, I just sensed it looking in the eyes of these guys, having been in that position in the past, how, you know, every drill, every rep matters. And you're trying to get reps, and you got to do good when you get your reps.
For those that are just listening on the podcast, Scar sent me a picture, and you may have seen this photo before. I pieced it together. It's a Michigan wall with all of the Jumpman shoes and then all of the Michigan trophies. You know, when I was a freshman in high school, I worked at Dunham's and I worked in the shoe department, and you know, you had the shoes up on the wall. You know, this is a million times better than the wall at like Dick's Sports or something. It's all Michigan. All of the trophies are over there. I see the Paul Bunyan. I see the little brown jug. That's where it's at right now. And then some of the other trophy. There can't be a more impressive wall in all of college football right now, because this thing is this is packed full with hardware, Scar.
Yeah, if you start from the left here, Denny, you know that you got number 21 there, and then but that first trophy years, there's the Northwestern trophy we have with them.
Yeah,
listen, man, you know, you don't think about this stuff until it's gone. And I was, you know, it's just so, we got everything. We got everything you could possibly have. We got the Northwestern trophy. Then right next to that, we got old Paul Bunyan sitting there. And then you got a couple Big Ten championship trophies there on the ground. And then the national championship trophy, Danny, it's, I think it's right by the Jumpman there, right in the middle. But it's sitting there. And I think that's it right there. You know, and we don't have many of those hanging around. So okay. I took a picture of that, and then you know you scroll on down, and you got the brown jug is over there, and that stuff matters when it's not sitting there, man. But I look at it every time I go down there. You know, they got all the shoes up there, but it's so impressive to have all these trophies and have all them trophy games, and you darn well know that they send the recruits. It's one of the first spots they take them. You know, we're you know, we got everything right now, and we don't want to lose it.
No, it is pretty impressive right there. Ferris weighing in on the trophy case, a full trophy case, and mentioning OSU's is pretty empty. Scar, before you start talking about the offense, people are, I don't know if they're complaining, but they're wondering about Michigan's defensive line coach, and they had to move on from Greg Scruggs. And Ferris asking, why is it so hard to get?
No, I don't know. Not at all. Is it hard? You got if you're a defensive line coach, I mean, there's even pro guys. If you're a defensive line coach in America, Michigan is one of the top jobs you would want. So sure, you know, Sharon Moore is going to have his pick of a lot of guys, and there were guys working in there. Analysts were working with the D-line and the edge players. One of them was Wink's guy, and then he had the name of those two guys. We had it on our site a while back. But they're getting coached, okay? They're getting coached up. They're doing drills, and guys were in their face coaching them up. It's just not the guy who's going to be their guy. So it is a setback, but you got to get the right guy. You know, we have a little slip up there. Scruggs lit us down, but I'm sure Sharon's working on it, and there's no reason to rush and get the wrong guy. But there's definitely going to be people fighting for that job. He probably had 150 applications, phone calls, from every a lot of people would want to come work in Michigan with Wink Martindale and Sharon Moore. So no hurry there, Danny.
Well, and they do have, people have mentioned the defensive analysts that they have. And I look, one of the defensive analysts, they're going through practice right now. If one of them really jumps out like, man, this guy looks like he's ready. They could easily bump one of the analysts up. You know, you want somebody that can coach and recruit, and people are looking for names. And even you, Scar, if you went down there and sat in with some of the defensive coaches and you were able to talk with them, you're going to have a 10 times better feel on who you might want and what you think of that. You know, a lot of that's got to do with fit, personality, how you're connecting with the coach and all of that. So I've got nothing against any fans that said, what the hell's going on? Can we get a defensive coach or whatever? Or other people firing back saying, have patience. Like, you know, there's an opening. You want a name, but people want recruits. I mean, so all of that. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not worried about it. But again, you know, you can understand people are always.
Yeah. But the timing was terrible. You know, the guy, he gets in trouble a couple of days before spring ball starts. So, you know, Sharon, he did everything right. He had all his guys. Everything was in order. Got his guys ready to go, you know, before spring ball, and then this happens. Okay, now he's got spring ball going on. He's evaluating everything that's going on. They're recruiting. But he's, believe me, he's talking to guys. Guys have been flying into Ann Arbor, and he's interviewing them. He's talking to them, and he's going to get – but you just get the right guy, man. I would not be concerned at all. I wouldn't give a darn if he waits till spring ball is over. Honestly, I won't care if he gets the right guy.
Right.
Got to get the right guy that – but, you know, do it methodically. Get the right guy. It's more important.
Speaking of talking to a lot of folks, yesterday I was in Ann Arbor. I was at that Dusty May press conference, so I'm running into a lot of people that cover Michigan that, you know, when you're have worked on and off in Ann Arbor for, you know, close to 30 years, you're going to see a lot of different people down there. Somebody told me, he was talking about the defensive line coach. He's like, man, I don't really like the couple guys' names that I'm hearing. That's what he told me. And I said, well, okay. So maybe you don't want, like what just Scar said, you want the right guy. Because yesterday somebody told me the guys that he was hearing, he wasn't very impressed. So I think no news might be good news from what I heard yesterday. So that's just a thought.
Yeah, I haven't heard any names, and Sharon's got to make that. You know, we don't know just because a guy worked under a lot of people doesn't mean he's good. Just because a guy worked at Middle Tennessee, it doesn't mean he's not great. He could be great. You don't know. You just don't know. You meet him, you talk to him, you find out where he's been, where he played. You know, get some references on him. Again, remember Jim Tressel come from Youngstown State. Okay, so you know, you just don't know, and he's got to find it. He'll sift through it. But anyway, Danny, I was watching Sharon Moore, you know, at practice. He delegates, and he's talking to recruits. He's got a positive attitude. He's not a guy that, you know, walks around like he needs to be. People need to know he's in charge. That's not his style. You know, I've seen guys like that. They want you to know that, yeah, you know, they're in charge, and you know, he doesn't come across with that kind of demeanor, but he had a lot of good recruits there. That big kid, Babalola. There's a big kid that Andrew Babalola. Was there. I saw him there, and I saw Avery Gatch there. So anyway, a lot of recruits, and you know, he's talking to them, and that's what the head coach does, man.
There you go. Well, Scar, people might say, why don't you start with the quarterbacks? But, you know, you would have and almost did play tight end at Michigan. So how about we start with the tight end group? And you've got Colston Loveland, who a lot of people, and I wouldn't disagree with him, He's been called the best tight end in college football. So how about you start there? Did Loveland jump out at you?
Danny, I told you, and I got to believe the coaches are looking at it the same way. When you're a coach, you don't worry about the guys that are proven players. So we go into spring. Yeah, okay, what do I want from Colson Loveland if I'm coach? Okay, I want to see him maybe block a little better at the line of scrimmage, you know, but we know what he can do. We got no questions there. I saw the kid pre-scorn. Big, tall, good-looking kid. About 245-pound kid. He looks like a, you know, he's a kid. He's a good athlete. He's a guy that might get some clock. You know, going to have to work on his ability to block. But anyway, Danny, one of the questions I had was, who's going to be our end of the line of scrimmage guy that can block? You know, we've had Barnhart last year. We had Scooney. Okay, I'm putting it on Klein, Danny. I think Klein is going to be our guy to step up, put his hand on the ground next to Big Hinton, next to Big Gentry, so we can run our power play. Klein looked good. And this Tonelli kid, what is Tonelli? I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, Deacon Tonelli.
He was in there quite a bit, and he's a big, strong – him and Klein are big, strong, physical guys that I'm really hopeful that they'll be able to block the end of the line of scrimmage. 83 is – you know, I saw 83 last year as a high school kid, and he's a bigger, stronger kid. He looked pretty good in there. There's good depth at tight end. You got receiver-type tight ends. Anyway, Klein is a big – strapping kid, and he looked physical blocking. So
you're inclined to say Klein could be in there in the multiple set tight ends, a Bredesen. Obviously Loveland's going to be in there, but is that AJ Barner and
Scooter? Yeah, the guy who's going to replace Barner. Okay, that's the key to our, you know, you got to have tight ends that can block at the line of scrimmage. And I'm saying Klein, hopefully more Loveland, and Tonelli. And Bredesen, Danny, doesn't play at the line of scrimmage. Bredesen's more of a fullback. He's not a real big kid. He's only about 6'2", maybe 240. You know, these guys are 260. They're just bigger. But Bredesen looked good. He plays in the backfield more. You know, I think they have a different type of blueprint they want for the position he plays. You know what I mean? More of a fullback type position of what he played, but our tight end group looked good. I'm just, you know, that's I'm optimistic about Klein. Okay, that's what I'm optimistic about.
Okay, that's good. There's the tight end group. Where are you going next?
Well, Danny, I'll tell you, the offensive line is huge, and we ain't gonna miss a beat. Big Hinton is good. He looked good out there at left tackle. He's a big, big, strong kid. Gentry was in there. And, you know, Danny, one of the questions I had, I wanted to find out. I believe Klein answered that question at tight end. I wanted to see from this highly recruited kid, Crippen. Crippen was ready to go, and here they bring in Ulu. So now he's ready to go, and here they bring in Nugent. So now he's finally getting his shot. He's a pissed off kid. He's been around, and he's a big, strong, tough kid, and he looked pretty darn good in there, Danny. He's an athletic kid. They had him pulling, and he's physical, and he's mean, and he's out there, and I'm confident with him. So that was one of the questions I wanted to try to get answered. And, obviously we're going to look at the spring game, and I just took a quick peek at some things. But he does look like a good football player at the center position. And you know who else really, you know, who looks physical and tougher is Percy. You know, Percy looked he looked like a kid who's been around now a couple years, and he was in there. He looked good. And the Preeb kid is solid, man. The kid from Northwestern,
yeah,
that's a mean, tough, thick kid, man. So our offensive line, the first five that, you know, and they look good. And there's a lot of depth there, man. You know, you want to look at some of these other numbers in there. The kid, the Herring kid looks solid. There's a lot of depth and competition there. But if I looked at the guys that I think might be the first five right now, Percy, Preeb at guard, Crippen at center, Gio was a little banged up. He'll you know, there's going to be competition for that other guard spot. And then the two tackles are huge looking. They're physical kids. He looked pretty good in there.
Who, Nathan Afabi did?
Yeah, or he did. He in the center, Herring. The kid Herring looked pretty good. You know, Anderson, there's a lot of guys in there that are battling, competing. You know, I'm just throwing out some, but the first, you know, six, seven guys, Denny, we have some good looking depth. And I watch, I'm going to talk about the coaches real quick. I watch Kasulu coach the tight ends. He's a fired up guy. You know, he's there. You hear him, you feel him. Big Grant is more cerebral. He's a teacher. He's a communicator. He's not loud. He talks to guys. He pulls them aside. He's not the kind of guy that you're looking to embarrass somebody. But you got Preeb's picture up there. He's a good-looking, put-together kid, man. You know, I could see he's played a lot of football, and he's a stout kid. We ain't stepping back there at all, man, you know, with some of the guard play we had there. So I just was really optimistic about our offensive line. Big, physical. You know, I don't know how much we'll be able to pull with our tackles. You know, we had some tackles we could pull and get them out there. I'm sure it's in the playbook. I didn't see a lot of that the other day, but.
Any of those guys that you looked at, could you see being the, you know, sixth, seventh guy that they would put, you know, how they did that last year, they'd put.
Well, that's what I think. I think you're going to have Gio and Percy. You know, those are extra linemen, you know, who could be the sixth, the seventh offensive lineman when you go in that package? You know, who's going to be the third tackle? You know, is it Percy, Gio? Is Percy now, you know, the third tackle behind Gentry and also the third guard? You know, that's what you try to have your best five on the field. But, you know, we've recruited well there. And I honestly believe that offensive line could be every bit as good as we've been the last 3 years. So there's no reason not to think that.
That's good. And somebody who did play a little bit last year, who's as big as they come and as impressive looking in his uniform and just walking around the street is Miles Hinton, listed at 6'6", 340. And how did he look?
You know, people were getting down on him last year. He started the first couple of games, and they moved Henderson in there, you know, this, that, or whatever. But you know what? He's going to be a year older and a year smarter in our system. Listen, you look at him physically, and I saw a physical, tough kid last year. He'll come down and block people, man. He'll move guys into the third row, man. He's a tough kid. He looked good. He's a good-looking kid. He's a, you know, big, athletic kid.
Yeah,
he's big. He practices hard. He's tough. So, you know, the mental mistakes, if that was some of the things last year, I don't know what it was, but you got to believe he's a year older, a year more in the, you know, another year in the system. So I just felt real good. Denny, you know, I'm 6'5", and I walked around that offensive line. We got, you know, when our offensive line comes to the line of scrimmage, boy, that's some big dudes, man.
Yeah,
we probably average 6'6", 320. So you line up across from that.
Well, and it's not a surprise that you're talking about off tight ends and offensive line. Jim Harbaugh, if we went back to 2021 and said, what really was the key to Michigan turning things around and playing like they used to and, you know, touching off this three-year run, you could say a lot of different things. But if Harbaugh was sitting here and he said, guys, it was our offensive line, I think he could easily say that. I think you can make that argument. I would, if somebody said, let's make arguments, and hey, at the end, you can argue that it's the offensive line, I'd feel pretty good about that argument.
I'd say firing Don Brown and hiring McDonald was the number one thing he did to save his job. But that's a whole other argument.
Hey, well, that, you know what? You got a pretty good argument going for you too, Scar.
This whole deal there. He doesn't that's fire down Brown and bring in the right guy. That's what I said. You got to bring in the right guy. You know, he I don't care how long Sharon takes with this D-line coach. Get the right guy that Wink signs up on him. You know, he's a culture guy. He fits in. He can recruit. He can coach. So
it's Denny just a little bit of recency bias to me. I was watching Jim Harbaugh, down in Florida at those NFL meetings, and they were asking him about who he was going to – he really needed a wide receiver. And he just started talking about the offensive line, and he said, if there's one position group that is dependent – all the other position groups are dependent on, it's the offensive line. And they're not dependent on everybody else. And then he said defensive lineman tried to make a case that it's
the – what did he do too, Denny? He let that high-paid receiver go. He got rid of him, but he paid his two defensive edge guys.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Defense, baby. Defense wins championship.
Yeah, defense.
And Matt.
Always a fun argument. Offensive line, defensive line.
He paid those guys. He didn't pay the receiver. Hit the road, man. We don't need you to run our power play. We want to win with defense.
Yeah. So, I hear you. Okay. What else?
Anyway, running back, Denny, that's another position. We've recruited good. Mullings. I don't know if he looks a little thinner. He looks quick, fast, tough. Donovan is bigger and thicker. It was in the paper that he's gained weight. You can see it. He's a thicker kid, fired up kid, leading them out there. Ben Hall, what a tank he is. He's like a little bowling ball, man. Big, small guy, but stout, physical. I have a lot of comfort level in the depth at the running back position. I didn't see too many other guys. I just remembered seeing Hall and Mullings getting a lot of reps, and they both looked really good. Donovan, he's been working. He's been lifting. He's been eating. He's a thicker kid. So
up 14 pounds. There's a picture of him from Friday.
It's obvious. It's obvious. He's a heavier kid. For whatever their reasons, they thought that was what he needed to do. And a lot of faith in the running back position. Okay, there you go, Antoine. And you could see it. I didn't know that he lost that Mullings. Mullings looked like a faster kid. Okay. Mullings, a little guy. Okay. He's 230. So he was probably 240, 240, whatever he was. He looked fast. So I like our running back. Tony Alford coaching him up. Solid presence, confident guy, talking to his guys, coaching them. You know, Denny, one thing. Coach Bo used to talk about not coaching with your hands in your pockets.
Yeah.
Okay. Coaching on every play is what I used to tell my coaches. You coach on every play. You run a play in scrimmage, whatever it is you're doing, you're communicating to somebody. So I saw that from all of our coaches, you know, hard in your face, talking to guys after every play, you know, hey, you were this, that, or whatever. There's something you can say to a kid after every play. So, but I watched Tony Alford and, it's an impressive guy. He knows what he's doing. He's talking to guys. He's coaching them up. And I really feel good about our running back room. Really, really good about it. I didn't see them freshmen. I don't know. Maybe I was down there when I was looking. I didn't see the Cincinnati kid. I didn't see some of the other guys. Didn't see many reps from. Just again, I was all over the place. So, but I did see those three:
Mullings, Edwards, and Hall. Yeah,
yeah. Edwards and Hall. Those are the see again, Denny. Remember, I said what I want to come out of it. When I want to look at this spring, what I want to come out of it. If I'm coaching, I want to know. I want to know who my starters are going to be in 2025. I could see that defense is loaded. And I'll talk about the defense next week. But I want to see, you know, who are the next – who's going to be our center the following year and our guards in 2 years? You know, where are we at after Hinton and you know, I think we got – Gentry's got another year. You know what I mean? That's what I really wanted to see. Where are we at? How solid is our depth and our backups and our depth? Because that you go through 12 games and then a playoff and then the championship game. You know, you got to have depth, man. How many times did we lean on and rely on that depth? You know, bam, we lose our captain, Zinter, and boom, we throw a guy in there and we don't miss a beat. You know, that's depth.
Yeah, I heard Edwards talking on Friday did he make a prediction or he said, don't be surprised if you see some of these guys doing some other things. And what I took from that is doing some other things like going out and catching some passes. We know Donovan Edwards could do that. Cole Cabana looks like he could get out and be, put him in the slot or whatever, flaring him out. But those two in particular I would talk about. I wouldn't think Mullings because – Mullings and Hall look like you give them the – I mean, they're big, stacked running backs that are going to look between the tackle type runners. That's what they look like to me.
Yeah. Denny, receivers, man, you know, I'm guilty, Denny. I tend to look at front seven. You know, I looked at the secondary a little more. I tend to look at the front seven. Man, I don't really have a good scouting report. You know, you saw the same names out there. I don't even have anything hardly on my notes for receivers. I saw the same names, and it's just I'm coming up with a blank because I was mainly focusing on the front seven on both sides of the ball, you know, and seeing how we were running the ball and how those backs were looking. But I did see 82 out there and. But hey, let's just talk quarterbacks then. Let's get to quarterback. I feel comfortable with it. I sure as hell wouldn't even try to tell you who's going to be the guy though. They all do good things. You know, Sherrone Moore said Jack Tuttle was working through something, so he didn't practice, and it was in the paper. So I don't want to comment on something that wasn't already in the paper. But you know, Donegal has his strengths. They're both athletic guys. Him and Orgy, you know, and there's a lot of packages where we're moving our quarterbacks around, but they both throw the ball well and they both run well. And to try to say which one was better, and they were both working in first group, second group. And Davis Warren is getting some reps too. So, but the young kid, Denny, the young guy is an accurate passer.
The young guy, Jaden Davis, you're talking about?
I say that about Jaden Davis. The kid's an accurate passer, man. And, you know, you'll see it in the spring game. He's a cool, calm kid for a kid who's supposed to be in high school. He looked really confident back there, and he throws a good football, man. And I'd say he's an accurate passer. He's not the biggest kid. He's about 6'1", you know, maybe 200 pounds. But I would call him an accurate passer. That's what I would call him. And that's like the number one skill you got to have from a quarterback. You know, I mean, if he isn't accurate, I don't care how smart, tough, and competitive, and all that other stuff. You play that position. You got to be able to throw an accurate football. You know, you can talk about speed and toughness and leadership and competitiveness and all this other stuff, but you better be able to throw a high percentage pass accurately on a regular basis, and that's what I saw from him.
I wonder from where they're at, and you saw one of the first practices of spring, how they can go through their 15 and then their summer phase and then the fall camp and then even the first game against Fresno, how much better they can get from now until September the 7th when they have to play Texas. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's the key. That's the race. And that's why, Denny, I always said as a coach, everything we did last year at the end of games, getting those backups reps was preparing them for Texas game two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All those reps matter. You know, they all matter. I just get back to my career. I remember, you know, playing as a backup and all those little reps, being on the punt team, being on punt return, kickoff, you know, and getting reps at the end of the game. All those reps matter big time when you make your first start the following year. You know, the confidence level is there. You're not as nervous. You're ready to go. So, yeah, that's the key, Denny. That's the race. Us in Texas are who's going to get their team ready to go for that game.
You are also someone that, you know, you coached, you played. I just look at it from what I have seen over the years in football. I don't like two quarterbacks being out there. You got two, you don't have one, but you don't mind having two. So if somebody was saying you could see two or three of those guys playing against Fresno State, you would say, yeah, let's go, right?
I mean, I'd like to – what I see from our three quarterbacks, I think it's, I don't know how much David, what I see is, listen, I know Alex Orji is a problem to defend with that running game package. If he's not the starter, I want a package with him. And I'm totally good with, you know, if it's Denegal and Orji, great. If it's Tuttle and Orji, great. If it's just Orji, great. Because I like the problems that gives the defense, Denny, to have to prepare for another quarterback and that run package, with Orji. It's a problem. I'm totally good with it. It's something they got to deal with, man. It's the pitcher that just throws the fastball. I want the curveball too, man. Let's get him in there. Let's make them spend time in practice preparing for Orji. Because all the reps in practice they got. You know, that they're spending time on him. It's taken away from preparing from our basic stuff, you know? So that's why you do stuff like that. That's why, it's good.
Were they airing the ball out? Was it more of a...
Oh, yeah. It was a, we were throwing it, running it, and we look good in all phases. Our secondary, I saw Rod Moore, man. I'm watching him, and I cover it next week. But I was watching him and Johnson and Page, and then the new secondary coach fired up. Those guys are leading the group. Moore, Page, Johnson, they're all back. They're fired up. They're leading. And then I read this stuff about Moore getting hurt. So I was just really sad. He's sad, man. So
it is when one of your top guys go down and it could be lost for the season. There's no doubt that is,
it must be real bad. Cause with the technology now with the knees, they get these guys back right away. So it must've been something. Hopefully, we get this kick, we can get them back, but I'll cover defense next week. I was watching Bellamy. Bellamy's a fired up coach. He coaches hard. He was a hell of a high school coach, and you definitely hear him and feel him, and his guys are getting coached up.
Yeah, I wonder. So Michigan, they've won prior to this past year. They had won the Big Ten championship. So teams were coming after them anyways. And, because it's Michigan, you're getting every team's best anyways. But it's a little different when you're carrying being the defending champs around. Everybody's talking about that. The other teams know that they not only can, get you, but then they can carry around, wow, we got the hide of the defending national champs. That should be instead of sitting around like, well, we're the champs, we're resting on our laurels, I think that could be a motivator for this team, knowing that they've got a schedule. They don't have the last 2 years where they can just sit back and say, hey, we can play anybody. We don't have to. Last year, they knew they really didn't have to be ready.
You look at our schedule. I don't know if Michigan State plays Ohio State. I don't know some of these other people who they play. But here's how you look at it. They got they got nine Big Ten games. USC has nine Big Ten games. Ohio State has nine Big Ten games. All the people on our schedule. The question is not so much the motivation. It's how much time are they spending on Michigan in spring football? How much are they working on our offense and our defense? How much are they going to work on that in fall camp? Because I know as a coach, there's two teams I worked on all the time. And some of these guys were so bad, I didn't even work on them. And sometimes I worked on them one day during the week we played them. I knew we were going to beat them so bad. I'd work on the other guy that we're going to play 3 weeks later. I didn't even tell the kids. You follow me what I'm just said there?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so the deal, and I remembered our coaches doing that. I believe that they did it when I was playing too. I remember we were playing Northwestern. They were terrible when I was playing. We had Ohio State the following week. And I noticed that we were looking at film of Northwestern and they ran some stuff. And then we got into practice. And I'm like, well, this ain't no damn Northwestern stuff. I'm like, that's Ohio State shit. They're already putting it in. You follow me? Yeah. 2 weeks early. Anyway, the point is, how much are they working? You know, that's the thing that you're getting. People are working on it. They're looking at your film more. They're game planning for you. How do we stop Michigan? How do we move the ball on Michigan? And, you know, I guess I'll get to that. But Paige talked about our defense being different. Is that just a curveball? Said our defense is totally different. You know, did you read that quote, that what Paige said?
I was there.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, what does that mean now? Is it a curveball to throw? But I don't know. We'll see what that means.
I got the impression that, so he was asked about it, and he was a little bit flippant, you know, saying, yeah, you know, that it was totally different. But then he was asked about his own position and what he's doing, and he basically said it was the same. And then he said he had to wait because it was just the fourth practice, about him being more aggressive. And I said, you're really telling us that everything's different in a defense that they brought in for everything the same? And he laughed and said, yeah. So I took that as you've got a young coach in Jesse Minter. You have an older coach in Wink Martindale. And even if you are doing the same things, everybody's got their little bit of tweak on everything, whether it's going to be terminology. So I believe it's going to be a lot of the same.
Yeah. You know, another thing, Danny, he went from, yes, I watched, you know, he went from Clinksdale for the last couple of years, who was a pretty aggressive, in your face, loud guy. And then I just watched the other guy and he's on him. He's coaching him, but his demeanor's different. So that's a part of it. You look at your position coach.
The other thing is, Scar, you're right about that. You got all new defensive side. You got a new defensive coordinator. You got a new head coach. A lot of those guys, you know, you're thinking about, they're in the NFL on the offense. And it wouldn't surprise me. And, you know, Harbaugh said this over the last few years. You get into spring ball and you take last year and you're putting it over here and everything is new. This is 24. So I think he could have that mindset where, like, yeah, everything right now is new. And so that's, yeah, you know, it depends. So
everybody there has a new coach other than what, the receivers? Everybody has a new coach. Every single kid on that football team except the receivers. Bellamy's the only guy. I mean, you imagine that? I mean, right. you kicked over a big Grant from tight ends to the line. So he was with those guys a lot. But every running back, new coach. You know, everybody on defense, new coach. So there's a lot of adjusting, getting, you know, get an idea. What the heck does your coach want? So then we got to get through this D-line thing. So, you know, Jerome Moore's, he's being, you know, but again, I saw a real good structured practice and highly, a lot of enthusiasm with a lot of good players.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's good that so many people watch this podcast right now. I enjoy the feedback from the people, but there's somebody on here, you know, when you guys start having conversations with yourself and you're talking about things that I don't know what you talk about, then I don't really have much to add to or to put up on the screen. Just that little programming note. All right, Scar. So you went down there, you saw him, you know, put through the paces, you go through the offense, you went through the tight ends, offensive line, gave us thoughts about the quarterbacks and the running backs. Listening to you, offensive line looking pretty good. Stable of running backs checks out. And Marlon Klein, it was about a month ago, you said this is going to be the key for Michigan, is finding that A.J. Barner, who they can put out there in multiple tight end sets. Who's going to be that guy that can catch the ball and that can also be on that end of the line and block like that? And, you know, and you're talking about Marlon Klein. So those things.
Yeah, Danny, that's what I wanted to get. See a tight end that can line up next to our tackle and block down at the line scrimmage. And I think I could check that off the list. I wanted to see good center play. That's why we haven't brought in a center. We brought in centers the last 2 years. They got faith in Crippen, and I see why. So that was one of the questions I had on the offense. And I wanted to see quarterbacks throw high percentage passes with accuracy and consistency, and I saw that. And I saw where I could not even make a prediction because it was pretty consistent with all of them. which was what I wanted to see, that we can at least complete the easy passes. And, you know, I talked to the long snappers, Denny. They're both from my neck of the woods out here, from Romeo, the kid. They're all back. You take that for granted? Both them long snappers are back. I don't know who the kicker's. Actually, I met Turner. I met him, the Turner kid. Oh, you know who I had a little talk with?
Who's that?
Is Corum, Blake Corum. Because a lot of those guys were trickling out, and he knew a guy I was with. And, you know, Blake Corum, man, this dude is just like I, you know, I've never met the kid before, but just like I see on TV, you know, everything you've heard, Jim loves him, team guy, humble guys, you know, and that's what he was. We had a good talk with him, man. And, yeah, he's fired up, man, and he's going, you know, we'll see. I just had to say, I met him, and I was just fully impressed with him and just happy for him and hoping good things. He's not the tallest kid, as we can see. He's put together, though, man. You know, he's a little tank.
Yeah, I think he will do just fine in the NFL. It's not going to surprise me if he is a top 10 NFL back as soon as next year. I mean, I think he's got that kind of talent. Scar, anything else on football? Because I did wanted to ask.
Well, let me go real quick, Denny. Real quick on some more football stuff. I Mason Graham said some great things about the way he feels about our program. He feels we're in good hands. Just wanted to talk about that. USC flipping some a lot of recruits from Georgia. Somebody pulled the Brinks truck up over at USC, I think, because they're getting guys from Georgia that were committed. What's Antoine's question, Danny? I can't see it.
Who you were impressed with on the coaching staff?
Danny or Antoine?
But go ahead.
None of them were dead weight. They were all fired up, positive, in your face. Every rep coaching guys. So, you know, you don't bring in. And Wink is a walk-around coordinator. You know, sometimes guys don't have a position group. I think Lloyd was like that when he was the coordinator. When I played, Moeller had the inside linebackers. McCartney had the linebackers. Wink's a walk-around guy. So he lets guys coach. I watched him. And he walks around, he's watching the secondary coach, you know. And then he walks around, he's watching the linebacker coach. And then he's watching the D-line. And you had those two analysts working. One guy's working with the edge guys. One guy's working with the D-line. But Wink is a delegating, lit guys coach. I'll talk to you after practice about what I saw, if I see something wrong. You know what I mean? So if he doesn't – that's what you want as a position coach. You don't want your coordinator having to talk to your kids. That's a slap in the face. You know what I mean? I don't want, and if I'm the defensive coordinator, I don't want the head coach talking to my defense. That's a slap in my face. You know, the head coach should let these guys coach. And that's what I saw. That's organization, man. That's structure. You start coaching up, you know, guys, then the position coach is going to say, you know, what the hell, man? You're undermining me in front of my players. But I was just thoroughly impressed with all of them, Antoine. I from the things I look for in a coach. Okay.
It's different this year. And I saw that it just that they just pass it today, so it might not have been into play. The analysts can coach now. They can be on the field
and they were coaching
out there. All right.
Yeah, I don't know how much they and you know, listen, man, I've been going to Michigan practices since 1980. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen guys that coach there that I didn't like the way they coached. And I would tell you, doing dumb drills, doing screaming at guys, cussing at guys, doesn't accomplish anything. You know, F-bomb this, F-bomb that. I saw good, smart coaching, motivating guys, you know. So anyway, Danny, I saw that with USC. Somebody pulled up the truck. And Ronnie Bell was at practice too, watching his brother. I talked to him for a second. His brother's a tall kid.
Yeah,
6'2". He's a tall, lanky. He's bigger than Ronnie Bell. His brother, he looked pretty good out there. What the heck's his brother's name?
Kendrick, I think.
Yeah. So he was out there, and Ronnie Bell was at practice watching him and watching everything. Yeah. So he's taller than his brother.
Wide receiver. Yeah.
Okay, Danny, you will go ahead. You want to get on that basketball then real quick?
Well, yeah, I wanted to ask you. Michigan has a new basketball coach. He was introduced yesterday, and his name is Dusty May.
Danny, he's everything I always talk about. I want a guy that is proven somewhere, okay? I don't care where it is. Go out and lead, man. Show me you can lead. This guy, to me, it couldn't get any better. I was at a Florida Atlantic game maybe 8-10 years ago before he was there. It could have been a JV basketball game. There were like 150 people in the stands. Nobody was there. No enthusiasm. Nothing. This guy goes there. He builds it. He makes him a winner. I listen to him. He's a smart guy. That's the number one thing I want from my leader, is that he's smart. He's going to be smarter than that dude across the field from him, across the court. I see a smart guy that he's evaluated talent. He brought in the right transfers. He was able to get them in. He recruits like crazy. He knows how to talk to people. He's an intelligent guy at his press conference. So there's two things I like more than anything about him, Denny. He's built a program. He's a proven winner. And I don't care what anybody says. He worked 4 years under Bobby Knight. I love Bobby Knight. I'm a Schembechler Bobby Knight guy, and people can say what they want about the one or two little incidents over a. I look at what Knight's former players said about him, because I know you're going to come back with, you know, Knight and whatever he did. But you talk to Bobby Knight's former players, or Isaiah and these guys. This guy worked 4 years with Bobby Knight. That's impressive to me, and he's a proven winner. And he's coached at a lot of different places, and I think he's going to win early. I think he's going to bring in some real good players. He's got a lot of John Beilein philosophy, Danny, in terms of he wants his five man to step out and shoot. He likes to bring – he likes the Mo Wagner type of five, a post. But he's won – he said he's won both ways. But he likes to spread the floor and have a five man that can step out. But I'm fired up with the hire.
Yeah, well, being a coach is more just about your players liking you. And find Neil Reed. See what Neil Reed has to say.
I know. You found the one. I'll get you about 400 that feel otherwise.
Ask him what his secretary. Ask him how people that weren't other coaches felt about him.
I get you, Danny. We disagree. That's all right.
Yeah.
I'm a night guy.
Yeah,
I think he learned a lot working under Bobby Knight.
Well, I think that he did learn a lot. He learned about terminology and how to coach. And you can learn a lot from a great coach, even if he isn't a great person. You can learn a lot about coaching. Yeah. And so I can meet you halfway on that. And I do think, you know, he's got a blank canvas. A lot of times I'm guilty of it myself. We talk about Michigan and act like they don't have a lot of things going for them. Like, oh, they can't get people in through admissions. They won't be able to pay anybody, you know, through NIL. And, you know, Michigan's got, they're up there. They just won a championship in football, and they've got a lot of stuff that they can bring to the table and compete. And I think, you know, having a new voice and having a new coach in there to be able to, it's different than it was last year and way different than it was 2 years ago. And I know this guy's going to have as good a chance as anybody to go in there for a lot.
We got a lot to sell, man. This guy came to, you know, he had everybody wanted him. So it was not like, you know, some diamond in the rough. This everybody wanted him, and he picked Michigan. It's right. Michigan, Danny. Doesn't matter. You know, it's Michigan. People want to coach at Michigan. His wife, he was at Eastern. He knows what Michigan's about. He said, I came there. It's Michigan. You know, they got great facilities, great resources. It's going to be – there's some guys he can't recruit maybe that Kentucky and Michigan State can recruit and transfer. He's got to adjust to it. John Beilein did. You know, Jim Harbaugh did. You got to find out what works for you. Okay, if you can't recruit certain guys, fine. You recruit the guys you can get in that maybe you make a living in the Ivy League. Get a lot of Ivy League transfer type guys. you know, the academic guys. But anyway, I'm fired up with it. You know, a guy you might see on his staff, Dane Fife.
Okay,
he's got a history with Dane Fife. They work together at Indiana.
Well, the Fife family is I'm a fan of all of them. You also mentioned John Beilein, and you know John Beilein, to no secret now, went down there and met and talked some X's and O's with Ward and Dusty May. And if John Beilein likes them, if you're somebody that's a fan, you're like, I don't know, I don't like this style, or you know, John Beilein pretty much endorsing them. You should make you feel pretty good.
If I'm Dusty May, I would have wanted to have a good conversation with John Beilein.
Sounded like they talked for about an hour.
Danny, just about the whole – see, these guys are going to have the questions for each other about Michigan, getting guys in, support, facilities, resources, Michigan. That, you know, there's only one guy that can answer that question that, you know, and I think it was Beilein. Beilein won there. And if you know, you make the right decisions and bring in the right guys, identify the right talent, you know, you can win. So it can be done there, man.
Good job, Scar. Nice, covering basketball and football. Great job.
You know, one thing, I got it on my note here, Danny. You know, I guess it's kind of a defense of Juwan Howard in a way. Basketball, look at Bill Self from Kansas. He had an average – he's won how many championships in a row? Not very good this year for Kansas standard. Musselman at Arkansas, okay? You know, there's guys that had these – you know, these are really good coaches. And if you don't get it right with your transfers on a certain year, you know, you're going to have a you can struggle. But the good thing about the way it is now is you can go ahead and turn it around in 1 year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would put John Calipari, who's
– Yeah, I had Calipari on my list too. Cal, Self, you know, those are great coaches.
And those guys have all of the they can get anybody in, and they've got all the money in the world.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's my – in defense of, you know, in Juwan is like, okay, you maybe he just made – you know, you got to get the right guys in with your portal guys, man. And if you got to – whatever, man. But it is what it is, and hopefully – old Dusty will make some great decisions.
There you go. Great decision having you on talking about the offense today.
All right, Big D. Defense next week. Defense wins championships, man. MMD, Michigan means defense.
All right. There he is, Jim Scarcelli. Smash that like button. We'll talk with you. Coming up. Appreciate it.